I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Spotlight On. I'm your host, Chelsea Overacher, and joined me today in studio is Alberto Zeni.
Yay!
Hey! How are you doing today?
I'm great.
Good, good. Well, Alberto here has quite the background. He was born and raised in Mexico, and he has recently starred in XY La Revista, Hoy So Nadia, Bejo El Alma, and you could catch him on season 2, Narcos Mexico, which is out right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Go watch it.
Go watch it. But, okay, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Very first day.
Thank you.
Is this your first time starting at a crime drama? Yes, we get the applause.
Thanks. Is it my first time starting
in a crime drama on Netflix?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is the first time. It's actually the first time I do something this big in English. Like, as you can tell with the titles you just read. They're all in Spanish.
Yes, when I was looking through the background, I'm like, okay, all in Spanish. And then he has Narcos Mexico, which
That's
a little bit it is in Spanish.
True. Like, yeah. 80% of the show is in Spanish. My role, my character, is 90% in English.
Was that hard or pretty easy? Do you prefer going from Spanish to English, or do you have a preference?
I mean, at this point, I'm comfortable with both.
That's good.
If you were to catch me a few years back, I would not have this kind of conversation with you. Like, I wouldn't be here having this like normalcy in the, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I got it.
Okay, no, it's actually. It was actually a little bit scary to go into a show this big with the quality of actors and people involved in it,
yeah.
Especially speaking everything in English because of the same reason. Because I when I first moved to Los Angeles in 2005, I didn't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
I would hear it, but I wouldn't understand it. And I would think in Spanish and translate, so it didn't make any sense to anybody. I mean, people would look at me like,
are
you trying to say something? But I'm not getting it.
You taught yourself English, though, when you moved here from L.A.
Kind of. When I was in school as a kid, I studied it, but I never spoke it. So when I moved here, the first few months, I was completely dedicated to just understanding. And the first 2 years, I actually didn't speak Spanish to anybody, so I would actually learn English.
Wow.
And there's an anecdote on the first weekend that I was here. I didn't know anybody when I moved here, and the sister-in-law of one of my cousins took me in for a week, and she took me to a party. So I went to the party, and I'm surrounded by Americans, and everybody's speaking English at this speed, which for someone that is not from here, you wouldn't understand it. Also, I didn't have vocabulary, so it was very difficult. So I did one of those things where you just go along with whatever people are saying. So if anybody would laugh and everybody would laugh, I'd be like, just funny.
Yeah, and you have no idea what they're saying.
No idea at all.
Wow. Well,
and then I didn't want to live through that for a long time, and I just dedicated myself to training myself, as you said. I would pay it a lot of attention. I started reading lips. I didn't know how, but I did it.
Yeah.
And I read a ton of books. And
yeah.
Basically anything. I still do it today. If I'm writing on the street and I see like some lettering or advertising or whatever, I read it out loud to remind me of how the pronunciation of things is and, you know, things like that. So, yeah, it's been a process.
That's impressive. But it's not only English or Spanish that you know how to speak.
No.
You know how to speak, well, you're fluent, I should say, in French, Hebrew, Arabic, and Mandarin.
I wish. No. Okay. I'm fluent in Italian, Hebrew. Obviously Spanish. I know a little bit of French, and I'm studying Mandarin right now.
You're studying it right now. Okay.
Yeah. Arabic, I've used it for projects like the movie that is coming out next week, but I don't actually speak it.
You don't, but you learned it to be able to do the movie.
Yeah, I learned enough for it.
Well, that's still impressive. Is there a certain language, though, that I know you touched base on this, but between all of this, if you had to choose one language to act in, which one would you want?
Well, obviously Spanish is the easiest one. It's the one that comes closer to home because it's mine. It's the one I grew up with. But English has been my language for a long time, too. And Los Angeles is my home as well. So it's like, I don't know. I, to be honest, I would love to learn as many languages as possible because I think there's a thing when you learn a new language, that you actually get a little bit of how people think from the place that speak the language. Like there's something about the movements and how people process their thoughts and they take their actions. Like if I speak Hebrew, there's this bravado that comes with it. It's like, and it's like, it's very... Yeah, it's very exciting. It's very, like, pushing forward. And that's basically how my Israeli friends are. You know, they're always moving to new places and learning new things and setting up businesses and, you know, working as a community and stuff like that. So it's just every single thing brings something different. And so, yeah, I mean...
Well, that's quite inspiring because for you to want to pick up and learn all these languages, I know some of them are for projects, but it sounds like you just like to do this for fun.
I do, yeah.
That's really cool.
I love it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I would love to see you act in all of these languages someday. So I'm going to keep that in mind. That's awesome. Well, let's get into Narcos Mexico. That just got released today.
Yay!
How was it filming that for season 2? Because you just walked right in.
I did, We started in the second season. It's a continuation of the last episode of the previous season. And after Kiki Camarena's murder, the DEA sends a rogue team into Mexico to infiltrate all the criminal organizations and to basically wreak havoc. My character, his name is Amat Palacios, and he is a former Mexican cop, but he has ties with the United States, and he knows Scoot McNair's character. The character's name is Walt Breslin, which is the leader of the DEA. He's known him for a long time, and when Walt calls him up, he's ready to act. They also cut a deal that you're not going to be able to see in the show, but there's like a little bit of mention to it in the latest episodes. They come to an agreement where my brother is going to be released from prison if I do this. And it gets very exciting because now there's no bureaucracy. There's no one to tell, you know, we're going to be doing this or asking permission or anything like that. So it's no man's land and everything goes and it gets super exciting and action based. It's like incredible.
Yeah, I was watching the season 2. I was going to say the pilot, but it was season 2, the first episode. And it was intense because at the end of the episode, they take this man hostage and it's just like, oh my gosh, what's gonna lead into season 2 with that? And then they're telling this Sylvian guy to say, hey, you gotta keep quiet, you know, give me your ID and everything. So I don't know if he plays a part, so I have to watch more.
That's right.
But are you gonna be in the full entire season with your character?
Yeah.
Wow, that's exciting. And was that hard to jump right into a season? I know it was season 2, but you didn't start from the beginning. So did you have to watch the first 10 episodes?
Oh, yes.
In order to be able to understand the story and...
I watched all of the episodes.
You watched all of the seasons. Okay.
There's one thing. As an actor, and you know this, you have to come with the tone and the style of whatever the project is. Mm-hmm. Like if it's not the same if you work for a network or if you work for a streaming service or if it's one kind of comedy or the other, you know, you got to kind of come into the format they're playing. So you got to learn it. And so I watched every single episode and then obviously coming out of the first season, which was very exciting and exhilarating and having this idea that the DEA is going to come in and do whatever they want to do, then it was both freeing because now we get a chance to just act out and do whatever we want. And on the other side is, I have like big shoes to fill because, I mean, a lot of incredible actors have been on the show for 4 years now. Mm-hmm. I mean, now we're on the fifth season. And you kind of have to level up with the rest of them. And, it's a big job. It's a beautiful job. And I was very happy because since the beginning, day one, first moment we all came together as a family, and it was like, I mean, we have, like, Scoot McNairy, for example, has worked with Tarantino, and he's had his own TV shows, and Matt Bydell has, I think, three shows right now airing. And Jesse Garcia also has been around for a long time. And it was like, okay, well, what can I bring that these guys don't have? And, it, I mean, and, you know, the answer is pretty obvious. It's just me, you know. I'm myself. I have my own ideas, and I have my own things. And so it was exhilarating at the time. There was scary.
Yeah.
But like I said, from the first moment, everybody was like, there's no egos. There's no, I want to be the star of the show. There's no, it's like we all had the same purpose, make this show the best one possible. And we all became a family.
So what do you bring to the show?
Myself.
Yourself. I get to.
Yeah. But myself.
But yeah, because you're saying they're all one big family.
Yeah.
And did you guys hit off right on the bat, or did it take a while?
No. Day one, before even we started shooting, because we actually had a like a safety meeting, and then we had actual physical arms training. So we shot guns, and we were trained to be cops, basically, by the security team that was in charge of the entire production. So from, I don't know, maybe that's it's a guy thing that when you're shooting guns together, it's like you come together as a family because you got to trust each other because, you know, you're shooting real bullets. Not on the show, but, you know, in the training.
Of course.
And, it was very natural the way we all came together and we just started, you know, supporting each other. It was a little bit of a gap between the training and the first moment when we were all acting. But as soon as the first one started saying something, everybody else was like, okay, yeah, we're in the right place. So, yeah, well, I mean.
But training, because there's fights and physical stuff that happens throughout the show. How long did you have to go in training for?
It was actually not long. We took a couple of days, maybe.
Really?
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. For me, it would
have been
like
more
two
fun
months.
To have more days, but yeah, no, it was pretty fast. It was pretty fast.
And is this your first time working with Netflix as well?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And do you feel like with Netflix, the production company, once you've done one project with them, do you want to continue doing more?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
100%. Now, the production company is not Netflix per se.
Okay.
Production company is Gaumont,
okay,
which is a French company that has put out so much content over the years. And they have production services from a company down in Mexico called Red Room. So the entire crew is Mexican, and the production heads are from the U.S. and the production team is like the U.S. and France. I do have to make a mention of the co-executive producer in Mexico who was actually running most of the operations down there. Her name is Jessie Moore, and she is a boss. She is phenomenal. Like, I have never seen someone, man or woman, running a production of that level and that massive the way she did. And she's the best.
That's cool. And it sounds like you want to work with her more.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
I feel like once you have a great boss and someone who is going hard out there, that's something that you want to become a part of and do more projects with.
100%.
So, well, that's exciting. I can't wait to see. And so you guys go check it out right now. It's on Netflix. And then, so you're very talented at playing different instruments. When I was looking at your background, I was like, okay, languages, instruments, you know how to do piano, violin, guitar, and the flute.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite?
Yeah, the flute is right now my favorite.
Really? Yeah. Why?
It is the instrument that came the easiest to me, I guess.
Okay.
It's I love the piano because you have a wide variety of things that you can do with it. But yeah, the flute, I don't know what it is. I just started playing it and it kind of evolved really quickly. And it may be because I already play other instruments, or maybe just it's the instrument that it's closest to me. I don't know.
Interesting.
It's weird. But the whole idea of me pursuing playing the flute is because I am part of a jamming group called the Jam Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And we have residency in two different places in Los Angeles. And we were creating a situation for a lot of people to have the freedom to come on and jam with us and, hone their skills and, become bigger, better, or just get inspired by music. And, it's a lifestyle. It's like if you surround yourself by music, then music will be in your life. And so one of the things that we didn't have was instruments like the flute, and we have a lot of pianists in the Gem Nation. And I said, you know what? I have to wait so long to play the keys every time we go on stage. So I was like, what don't we have that I can play? And then by then I was actually shooting Narcos already. I'm like, well, what can I start playing that I can actually bring with me to travel? So I'm not going to buy a piano to travel, right?
Right.
And I was like, I've always wanted to learn something like the flute, so might as well get one. And I took it, and I went to Mexico with it, and I started playing with it. And then I came back, and after a couple months, I got on stage, and I started playing. And it's been like that ever since.
That's awesome. How long have you been involved with Jam Nation?
Since the beginning, we've had the residency for 2 years now.
Okay.
We have the residency at the Rainbow Bar on Sunset and the Universal Bar and Grill here in next to Universal Studios. And we probably started about 6 months before. Well, I came on 6 months before that, and they have started a year and a half before. And it all started in a living room. Yeah,
really?
Yeah. The first time I was there, for the first 6 months, we were in the living room of one of the guys that started it, and then from then on, it's like, why don't we make it bigger? Because more people keep coming and more people keep coming, and then he got the first residency, and then it's been like that ever since.
So who are all the members in Jam Nation?
Oh man, it's so many people.
Really?
Yeah, we're like as a base, we are. Like 25, maybe.
Wait, and all of you go on stage when you perform?
Yeah, we keep rotating.
You keep rotating.
Yeah, and then anybody that can play anything can get on stage, and we'll move away, and people will play the keys or the sax or, well, not the sax. The sax is a very intimate instrument because it has your saliva and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you don't want to share that.
But the bass or the drums or anything like that, and anybody that plays them can is welcome, and we actually do that. And singers, a lot of singers come.
So, because you have a lot of members and a lot of instruments happening.
Yeah.
What music do you guys create?
It's all improv.
No.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It doesn't really matter. It just depends on the mood and depends on the instruments that are being played. That kind of dictates the genre we're going to be playing. So if we have more brass instruments like saxophones or trumpets or the flute and whatnot, we go a little more funky or we go a little more jazzy. And if it's just drums, guitar, and keys, then it may be a little more rocky or, it varies every single time.
That is crazy. So
yeah.
If you guys have a show, you just improv it? Or
yeah.
you don't really practice the night before saying,
nope.
Okay, no. Okay, I'm going to have to check this out.
Absolutely. You're more than welcome.
That
anytime.
Is insane. Do you have a website or anything where your fans can check it out?
I think
at?
So. I think it's thejamnation.com.
Okay.
I think.
And how many shows do you guys usually do in a year?
We have two a month. We're with at the Rainbow Bar, we are on the first Thursday of every month. And the Universal Bar and Grill, we're the third Monday of every month. So
okay.
Two a month.
Now, do you feel like it's harder to do improv with that or acting, where you have a script and you have to memorize everything?
I guess it depends on the script.
Yeah.
The thing with the improv is we're very chill.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter if you don't know how to play that instrument 100%. You're not a master and you haven't played with so-and-so. Like, you're welcome. And there's it's a safe environment for you to mess up experiment on something new or new sounds or create whatever you want. When you have a script, you got to follow kind of a line of operation, so to speak. And then you add a lot of value to it because of who you are, your personality, what's your point on what you're trying to say, your perspective on anything. So it's a different thing. I enjoy both of them.
Oh my gosh.
A lot.
That is fascinating. I am just mind blown that you have at least 25 members and you guys just go on stage. It's all improv.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's going to be great. Wow, that's just amazing because you don't do any rehearsals or anything beforehand. You just go on.
Yep. That's the whole point. It's just let your creativity go and see where it takes you and, you know, have fun with it.
Do you ever want to expand your music career and maybe not do improv? Try to do something with an album maybe?
As myself?
Yeah, as yourself.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I had an album released in 2000, maybe? 2000? Uh-huh. In 1999? We were on the radio for a couple of weeks, and that was it. That was the end of my musical career.
Well,
my fascinating musical career.
I wouldn't say the end, maybe just a pause,
that
right?
That was the first big pause of my musical career. And then I kind of dropped it because I dedicated myself to being an actor and studying and, you know, working and all of these things. And now, I mean, music has always been part of my life, but not to the degree of dedicating myself to creating a show and stuff like that. Now we're at the point with the Jam Nation that we are probably going to start working on independent artists and just creating music for different people and, you know, bringing them on board and, you know, honing their skills and bringing them up. Because there's a lot of music producers for film, television, and albums within the Jam Nation. So we're going to start probably doing things like that. And if I have some ideas of an album, I probably will create a couple of songs and release them and see what happens.
You should. You never know. Why not? I mean, you're doing all of this stuff with your languages.
Yeah, really.
You might as well put music into the mix.
Why not?
All right. Well, I'm just going to ask you some rapid fire questions.
Oh, dear.
I think it would be kind of fun.
I want to drink something.
And be as honest as you ought to be. But here we go. We'll just give it a try. What's the scariest thing you've ever done?
Jump out of a plane.
What, like, I was going to say scuba diving. Oh, my
yes.
gosh.
Yes. And then I went into the water, and I was, like, super deep.
Oh, so, no, a parachute. That's what you did. Oh, wow.
Yeah, skydiving.
Skydiving.
It's crazy. I actually, because of the type of personality that I have, which is a little bit of a control person, once you jump, there's no control. Like, you're falling.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go back to the plane. You can't do anything. And I started kind of moving. So when you move a little bit, your body moves a lot because you're falling. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of wind coming. And I realized that if I move too much, I may hit this guy and he may be knocked out and then we're going to die. So what happened was like I went into shock. So I was like, bleh! And I just didn't move anymore. And literally my tongue stuck out of my mouth. And I was like,
And you get those pictures back and it's just...
No, absolutely not.
I don't know what happened to them.
They disappear. But thank you for coming.
That's actually on my bucket list of doing. So I'm going to try that.
You should do it. You should do it. A lot of people love it. I have to do it again so I can enjoy it because I didn't know what the experience was supposed to be. And I went into shock.
That's very cool. Well, not that you went into shock, but very cool that you did it.
Yeah.
Okay. What's a silly thing you're afraid of?
Silly thing? What do you mean?
Like, for me, I would say silly thing that I'm afraid of randomly is grasshoppers. I don't know why. They
really?
Just freak me out. Yeah, they just jump at you so fast.
I used to be like that.
Yeah, I'm like, get off of me.
I would say, this is very funny. I was talking about this with someone. I'm not afraid of spiders. I am not. If I see them in my home, I will grab them with something. And then I put him outside and just let him be. But if I have one on my skin, yeah, I may freak out a little
bit. Oh, my gosh. Even if it was on my skin. You're a better person than me. If there's one in my house, bug spray.
Oh, I don't. I don't kill anybody or anything.
Good for you.
Yes.
I would like to be nice to them. I don't know. They might jump at me. You never know. But good for you. Okay. Who was your first celebrity crush?
Who? What was the name of the girl from The Wonder Years?
Oh.
The one with the bangs.
Yeah.
Her.
Her, okay.
Yes. I can't remember her name.
I remember the character, Winnie.
Winnie, yeah, the one, Winnie.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And then what advice would you give your 15-year-old self?
Be patient.
Good
and
one.
Don't take life personal.
Yeah.
Well, take life personal, but just don't take what other people say personal.
Get it,
it's not about you. Yeah.
Great. And then lastly, name three TV shows you are currently watching that you love.
Narcos.
Of course.
Narcos Mexico. Let me see. What was I watching? Well, I was watching BoJack Horseman just these last couple of days. Have you watched it?
I haven't.
It's an animation. It's very funny. I started watching Lock and Key, which is also a Netflix show.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
I just
watched the first episode, so I don't know much about it yet. Don't tell me.
I'm not going to say anything.
Good.
Okay, great. Well, see, that wasn't so bad with our rapid questions. I just want to...
They were not that rapid. I was like, give me that.
No,
like,
okay. Slow, rapid questions.
Slow, rapid questions. Think a little, Christian.
Okay. What projects are you currently working on that you can discuss?
We are in the process of just talking to different productions and seeing what's happening with the new television projects, because obviously we're about to mm-hmm. jump into a pilot season, so there's a lot of stuff happening that it's kind of not happening yet.
Yes.
There's a film in Mexico that I actually got a phone call today from a director friend that we've been planning on doing this film. It's a phenomenal, beautiful film. We'll see what happens with that. And we are prepping a social media for crowdfunding platform that we're going to be launching this year. That is the biggest project I've had in my life by a long shot.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
phenomenal.
Exciting.
That project is what I consider will be my legacy. That's a project that is going to enable a lot of people to actually fulfill on their own promise to their own ideas and their own dreams. And the whole point of why we're creating this is to basically take away all the excuses that we tell ourselves of why we shouldn't pursue the dreams and the things that we want to pursue,
mm-hmm.
and just make it easier for all of us to actually accomplish them. And just live the life you love. Live the life you want to live. Because,
yeah.
You know, this is a project that has been in the making for a few years now. And the first 3 years of research and talking to people and figuring out what we really wanted to do with it, we encountered the people say basically three things most of the time. It's like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if people are going to like it, and I don't know people with money, you know? So what we're creating is basically you start and you do it. So you already have that you can do it. The second is, I don't know if people are going to like it. You will find out really quickly if whatever it is that you're creating is going to be liked by people or not. Because the whole point of what we're doing is, and I don't know if you've ever been in any crowdfunding platform, but one of the things that we encountered was there's a distance between the projects and the people that are funding them or helping mm-hmm. them become something. So what we're doing is bringing the human element back into social media and crowdfunding. So you're going to be able to talk to the person that is behind the project. You're going to be able to see the progress of how the projects are moving forward. And if you have ideas that are similar to that project, or if you have a project that encompasses that specific project, maybe you can come together and work on putting it together and making something bigger, or creating a new industry, or doing whatever it is that you want. So we're bringing it to this. To like, what if we collaborate? What if I know who you are? Because for the most part, people help fund either projects that are very, very fun or very endearing to them,
mm-hmm.
or people. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. I know who you are. I know what you entail. I know what you're after, and I like you, and I want to support you. Instead of just, well, this is what I'm doing, and that's it. So that's a project that we want to put out, and we're probably going to be putting out by the middle of this year. And ideally, we're going to empower a lot of people to pursue their dreams and make them happen.
That's exciting, because I could tell that this project, it's really coming from a place where you're very passionate about.
Yes.
And
yes.
This is going to be great.
Yeah.
Okay, and is the project here going to be in L.A.?
Yeah. We're the first launch is going to be in Los Angeles, and we're probably going to be testing it first here in California.
Uh-huh.
And then depending on how it goes, we're going to go to the rest of the country and then the rest of the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, keep me updated.
Yeah, exciting.
And then there is a film that is getting put together very soon that you filmed 3 years ago.
Yes.
And it's a horror film.
Yes. It's called I Am Fear.
I Am Fear.
Yeah.
How's that movie like?
We'll see. It's coming out in on the 20th. It's a limited release, theatrical release, and then it's going to go to the VOD section. So it's going to probably go Amazon, Apple, and all those
really?
Outlets.
Oh, wow. That's huge.
We'll see. I mean, it's a film. It's a, it's very funny. That's the first film that I play in English, and I played an American, an Arab American. So the whole idea of the whole premise of my character is that I'm an Arab American with a romantic idea of what the terrorism is. Mm-hmm. So I joined this specific cell and I go into kidnapping a journalist that ends up making our lives miserable.
Wow.
In the process of that, he understands that the choices that he's made based on that romantic idea of becoming a terrorist, they're nothing to do with reality. So in the middle of the whole process, he's like, I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And, you know, I'm already way too deep into it that I can't just bail. So that it was an interesting character to play.
Well, sure. It sounds like a really great character to play, though. Yeah. I feel like you have so many emotions with this character.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Do you feel like, what role do you feel like made you have to expand your emotions the most? Like, you really had to put yourself out there a lot.
Oh, I think every time I do something, it just brings something extra to the toolbox. There has been times that one of the shows that I had, actually, Bajo el Alma, which you mentioned before, I played a womanizer that was very insecure within himself. And he ends up falling in love with the most random person in the entire show, which was not the models that he used to date. And she was a real person in the sense of her humanity. And one of the things that he discovered is that he could love. Mm-hmm. And when he does that, he just breaks into tears and he starts singing songs. And he's like super cheesy, but I loved it because it was very connected to something that was very human and very real. And so, you know, characters like that bring me a little bit more of that human sensibility, and I love them.
Okay, well, that's amazing. Like, you're super talented.
Thank you.
But you're also very smart, too, because you received a degree in engineering.
Yes.
And your goal was to become an inventor.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, do you still want to pursue that? But everything that you have lined up, do you feel like engineering kind of was, you got the degree, but now acting is where your passion is at?
When I was a kid, like you said, I wanted to be an inventor. So one of the things that I did when I was a kid was to grab my dad's car stereos and rip them apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could never put them back together. And so I went into engineering because I wanted to learn how things work, because every time I opened them, I wanted to see all the little pieces and what they did. So when I did the engineering, I kind of learned what the pieces do, and then I learned how to put them together and all of that. Through the process of being an engineer, I was already in entertainment. I was already starting my career. I started when I was 14.
Mm-hmm.
And going back to the first question, the reason why we're creating Me There, which is the platform that I was talking about, is because of that. Because...
Okay.
If I were to pursue that, I would have been in a completely different place in my life, which I'm great with the place I am in my life right now. But I see the opportunity for a lot of people that are pursuing something like that to make it easier for them. If I had something like that when I was a kid, I probably would have invented a rocket, which is what I wanted to do. I wanted to invent rockets to go to space. So the whole point of that inventiveness, if you will, is to start creating opportunities for people like me that are curious and that are wanting to do other things. You know, nobody says that you have to be one single thing in this life.
Right.
And I think a lot of people that are doing office jobs have ideas beyond that that Absolutely. They would love to pursue mm-hmm. that now they're going to be able to, because it's not going to take them away from that certainty of that paycheck, but it's going to open up to something more. Mm-hmm. So now they're going to be able to expand, and they're going to be able to actually go and pursue whatever they wanted to pursue in the first place. And if it works better than what they already have, then, you know, they'll move forward on that. And maybe the world is going to be impacted by all these new amazing discoveries and inventions and technologies and communities and whatnot. So why not?
Absolutely. Right? Well, I'm excited for you. It's really Thank great you. That you got to put in something that you did with engineering into something that you're working now.
Yep.
So I cannot wait to see any of your future products. It's going to be amazing.
Thanks.
But yeah, you guys, make sure to check out Narcos Mexico. It's on Netflix streaming right now. Before we leave, where can they find you on social media?
Instagram at Alberto Zeni and Twitter Alberto Zeni OS.
Okay. And you can find me on Instagram at Chelsea Overacker and on Twitter at Chels Overacker. Thank you guys so much for watching Spotlight On, and make sure to subscribe to AfterBuzz TV to check out more interviews. Bye.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.